Hey man, how's it going?
All right.
So, real quick, please go down to the show notes and hit on some of that social stuff. Okay? Right now, as of the recording of this episode, I am focusing some time on Twitter. There are a lot of threads on Twitter asking for suggestions as far as blogs and YouTube and podcasting goes, and I try to jump on as many of those as I can so that I can push my content out there. I have a blog on Steemit. I have a YouTube channel. I have a Twitter channel, handle, feed. And, of course, my podcast. Okay, I am also on Facebook. The link that I provide is to my page, but I'm strongly considering spending more time on a second profile. I've got my personal profile that's me and my friends and my family and the stuff that I do on there. And it's kind of like pond water right now. It's water. Water's good, but it's got a bunch of nasty stuff in it. And I feel like I need to put some bleach in there and filter it out and do some work on it so that it's not quite as toxic to my soul, my well-being. And it's got a lot to do with me and the things that I've done on it, and I don't want to blame any one person, but other than me. And it's gotten to be one of those things that I can't spend a whole lot of time looking at anymore. It kind of makes me sad that I let it get to that point. I let it get so ugly over there that I created another profile that deals with hate man. That I can go on, but like with a page, you can't go to the Wilderness Outfitter School of Learning. Can't go there and post stuff on there as a page, but as a personal profile, you can go there and do that. And I wanted my profile to reflect me as Hey Man, that me that I'm. Coming more of that. I dragged old me along with the old profile, and I still keep that. I'm still gonna keep that, but keep it separate from my brand, just because that's personal stuff there. That's family stuff and stuff that I don't necessarily want to share with a lot of people in the outside world until you've proven yourself as a friend, then maybe, I don't know. Okay. But for right now, that Facebook profile, I'll get it put up in the show notes and make it somewhere that you can go and friend me, and we can hang out on Facebook and that kind of thing. All right? So, on with the show. Okay, so we got into my preparedness stuff, and I'm still kind of going on it a little bit. My overall preparedness plan, okay, is to just be able to react. Okay. And by that I mean if something big and major were to happen, say like a zombie apocalypse. Okay. My first thought is to hunker down. Okay. Shut off the lights. Don't make any sound. Don't go outside. And not to sound too terribly cold about it, but let everybody die off. Okay, there's, what is it now, 7 billion, 8 billion people on this planet right now. I'm gonna hunker down and not, you know, I'm not gonna go on any sort of supply run or anything for quite some time. That's where I want my preparedness to be, that I don't have to worry about going out where people could see me or know that I've got food or whatever where I am. So I would like to, food storage wise, get myself to that point. That's where I would like to be. That I could, you know, of course, you know, build up to be more and more capable of, you know, waiting out a longer amount of time. Because even with like a pandemic, like in the movie The Stand, that miniseries there, if you were immune, if you were one of the lucky people, well, depending on how you want to see the word lucky, if you were immune to whatever the pandemic is, then it wouldn't kill you. But unfortunately, unluckily, you'd have to sit there and watch everybody around you die, possibly even family members, possibly dying a long, slow, painful, awful death. Okay, like with the Ebola scare a couple of years back. You know, the way I understand it, dying from Ebola is not a comfortable thing. Okay, it's not a good way to go. So I would like to avoid that as much as possible. So, beyond that, I'm looking at skills that would improve my life and my situation after a collapse. And then find a way of using those skills to find a way to improve my life now. Okay, I enjoy spending time out in the woods, being out in the wilderness. I love attuning with nature. I like bushcrafting. But whenever I got into bushcrafting, I found that there's a lot of stuff that goes along with it. And I resorted to my primitive desires, my primitive plans to try and figure out a more minimalist approach. You know, what did we do 10,000 years ago, 12,000, 20,000, 100,000 years ago? What did we do to make fire? How did we stay warm at night? How did we cook our food? Where did we find our food? Because supermarkets are a new thing. As far as human history is concerned, supermarkets are a brand new thing. You didn't go to Walmart 1,000 years ago and get dinner and stop off at Save-A-Lot or whatever on your way home from work. You grew your food. You had a farm that you lived on and you grew your food. You had a garden, you had animals, you know, as a regular person. And a lot of the time you had a job, you had a skill, a trade, you were a blacksmith, a carpenter. And then whenever you were done with that, you went back to your farm and you did your farmer thing. And you fed your family. I would also like to be able to do that farmer thing, but I don't know that, you know, like try to look at it from a primitive point of view, you know. Not having a refrigerator, not having a freezer, not having a way to store my food. I look at smaller animals, like rabbits, like chickens, not cows, not goats, not pigs. You know, pigs, if you were a pig farmer back then, you were raising pigs to go, to like the restaurants or to armies or whatever. You didn't have a whole farm full of pigs. Like today, you don't have a whole farm full of pigs because your family really likes bacon. Right? my outlook on farm is it being a really big garden. And on that garden, on that farm, most of that food is for me and my family. Fruits, vegetables, nuts, berries, whatever's, plus the meat. Okay, that's for me and my family, and stuff that gets stored up and put away, you know, extra gets stored up and put away, set on a shelf in a cool, dry place for the winter, whenever there isn't a whole lot of stuff growing in the garden. I mean, as a modern, primitive homesteader type person, I do plan on having a greenhouse. I actually plan on having several greenhouses that I can experiment with, you know, different things. But I don't see how in a primitive nomadic hunter-gatherer lifestyle how killing a cow, you know, I mean, if you're really that hungry, if it's been that long, you know, yeah, I guess killing a large animal to eat is an option, but you know, it's also a waste of life, a waste of energy, a waste of spirit to go out there and kill a bear just to feed you. Cut off a chunk of meat, eat it, and leave. That's awful. I don't think I want to talk to you if you're somebody like that did that on purpose with, you know, without it being a last resort. Now, this is kind of where my minimalism starts kicking in. Okay. My prepper mind and my minimalist mind are constantly at battle with each other. Constantly. And my prepper mind tells me that all of our efforts should be pushed towards purchasing a piece of property and permaculturing the hell out of it. Okay, but my minimalist mind tells me, why? My minimalist mind is also based in today's world. In today's world of supermarkets and department stores and Walmart. Okay, there, at this point in our society, in our lives, there's a never-ending flow of stuff to eat, a never-ending flow of stuff to wear, either brand new stuff to wear or old stuff from a thrift shop to wear, ranging from very cheap to very expensive. Okay, in our society, in our country, I really want to say the words that it's difficult to go to bed hungry, but I say that because I'm willing to go to some extremes to feed myself. Hey, some people are above the idea of going dumpster diving. If I'm hungry enough, I'm jumping in that thing, and I'm gonna find something to eat. At a certain point, I am not above dumpster diving. That's why I want to say that it's difficult to go to bed hungry in America, at least. I mean, if you're trapped in some one little one-horse town that doesn't have a whole lot of dumpsters to dive in, you know, then you need to pack up whatever little belongings you have and go find somewhere else to be homeless. Truck. But, you know, my minimalist mind tells me that, you know, maybe it's not the best idea to invest all of that time and energy into, you know, into a property that you're never really going to own. Maybe it's not the best idea to sink all that time and energy into buying all that stuff. You know, that stuff that you're going to have to, you know, do maintenance on and keep up with, and, you know, why do all of that work when you can just go to Walmart? Or you can grow a little container garden. Now, I've got several really good ideas as far as a container garden goes. I would like to pursue, but I'd also like to get myself, but like right now, we are under the shadow of needing to find somewhere else to live again. So I don't want to get started up on a bunch of new projects and stuff to just have to abandon them and move and start over again. It's just a bunch of mess that I'm not wanting to deal with right now. So, you know, I'm kind of holding back on some of that. You know, I'm pretty sure our next move is going to be another rental. And, you know, depending on what that situation is and where we're living at the time, you know, I don't know. I don't know what happens next. I have several ideas to deal with whatever happens next, but I'm like I said, my main prepper plan is reaction. And I filled my mind with enough information, and I've developed some skills. I'm not a master at anything really, but, you know, I've got some plans in my head that if this were to happen, then I'll do this. Or if we end up renting a house that's got a 1.5 car garage. Okay, I don't want to have to fill that half up with crap. But, you know, that half having my container garden on wheels, you know, building like a a planter, but instead of a planter, it's got a bunch of buckets with dirt on wheels that I can, you know, I can scoot out into the sun in the morning, and I can put it away at night. You know, I can have quite a bit more control over something like that versus having a big garden outside and having to worry about all the bugs and the animals and all, you know, all the things that come around at night. Those things I don't have to worry about as much. Okay, just a little taste of idea maybe about what could happen if this were to happen or that were to happen. You know, I've got plans. I have reactions to what could happen. Okay, and if nothing else, it'll just be a general move. Okay, our address will change. Where I go home, where I go after work will change. But, you know, it's not like I have any sort of real project going on right now. Except for my brand. My brand is my, you know, my thing, my side hustle. I'm not making any money at it right now, but, you know, if you're interested in donating some money, send me an email and let me know. We'll work something out. I'm considering setting up a Patreon account. I don't know how it works. I don't know what all is involved, but, you know, if it's something that I've got to pay a monthly fee for, you know, then right now, nobody's contacting me about anything, much less giving me money, and I don't have any extra money to pay maintenance fees on an account that doesn't get used, so, you know, that kind of thing. I wouldn't even know how to deal with a donation right now anyway. So if you are some sort of an accountant person that wants to give me a little bit of free advice, go ahead and send me an email and hook me up with some of that advice. All right. Like I said before, I got into minimalism because I was trying to reorganize my home, and then I realized that I don't need a lot of this stuff, and then it kind of pendulum back and forth from one extreme to another. And fortunately, I see it as good fortune. Fortunately, we had to move. Okay, even though we were on our way to home ownership, we were doing, you know, all of these things to live the dream. Okay, it was still a toxic situation. It wasn't a good situation. It was bad, very negative. And we had to leave that place. And whenever we left that place, we had 4 storage units, plus the stuff that we had already taken down to where we live now, plus all the stuff that I stored at my dad's, plus all the stuff that was in our cars and stashed away at other people's houses. And we had to make all of that fit into a place that was much, much smaller. I said we had to make a lot of tough decisions just in the packing process, because we we would pack up a box and we'd put it in the van. We'd pack up another box, we'd put it in the van. The van got full, we'd fill up the car, we'd fill up the truck, and we'd run it to a storage shed. We'd empty it into the storage shed, we'd get it all nice, neat, tightly packed in there. And then we go back to the house and we do it again. And then we finally started getting ourselves down to a point where there's a lot of stuff that we're not exactly sure on what we're going to do with. What are we going to do with this table? Do we really need it? Do we have room for it? Can we sell it? What about this chair? What about this wine rack? There was a lot of stuff that we had that we wanted to hold on to, but we didn't have the room for it. We didn't have the space for it. We weren't going to rent a whole nother storage shed, another 70, 80 bucks a month for the stuff that was going to be maybe. You know, we've bent a lot on some maybe stuff and held on to it. But that maybe stuff that we said maybe to also had some sort of value to it that we could sell it. Like, okay, we'll hold on to it and we'll take up space in the storage shed. But it's also one of those situations where if it really turns out to be no, then all right, we can sell it. The definitely no stuff, the stuff that was damaged or broken or scratched up, the stuff that, you know, we didn't want to sacrifice the space in the storage shed for, and there was no monetary value, we stuck down at the end of the driveway for the trash man. And there, the last couple of weeks that we lived in that house, we met more of the people in our neighborhood in those last couple of weeks, because there were people coming to our house. Our neighbors finally came over and said hi. Oh, you guys are moving? Yeah. How long have you lived here? 3 years. Oh, I've lived in this neighborhood for 20 years. Like, really, I've never met you. 3 years living in the neighborhood, and I never met this person. That's the world we live in today. We take all of the crap that we didn't want anymore, stuff that was damaged, scratches, stuff that we couldn't get any money out of, and we put it down at the end of the driveway. And all the junkers in town came around and dug through the pile. I out of courtesy to those people, I spread the mess out a little bit so that they could see what was there without having to dig too terribly much. I was like, just be careful, because there is broken glass in there. Don't get hurt. We did a huge, huge purge that last couple of weeks. And there know, don't get me wrong, there was a lot of tough decisions made there as well. But part of our reason for moving was so that my wife could open up a resale shop. And a lot of the stuff that we brought along with us was for the shop, which is where, you know, my wife likes to do that kind of thing, go out and buy stuff for a quarter and sell it for $5. You know, she's really good at it. But I saw it as a bunch of crap laying around the house. Okay, and now that she's got a store, she's got somewhere to go with all that extra crap. And it's not taking up a bunch of room in our home. And she can still do her thing, her hobby, her, you know, the thing that she likes to do. Then another, you know, let's see, November, December, another 8 months long purge has been going on so far of digging through the boxes and really making some choices on whether or not we need this thing. Are we going to use this thing? What is it for? Do we have something that already does this function? If so, is this of a higher quality than the one that we've already got? Can we trade one for the other? Can we get rid of one or the other? Can we sell it? I'll say every week. Okay, well, I'll call it every week that something, you know, a major amount of stuff has left the house. Okay, I've gotten myself down to, you know, a pretty slim amount of stuff. If it were just me personally and all of my personal stuff, I could fit in my minivan. Okay. I could live me by myself and retrofit my Kia Sedona to house me and the stuff that I find necessary to maintain my life. I've got a few extra things, you know, if you listen to any of the older episodes, you'll hear me talk about I'm still on the fence between being a nomad or starting my own haven. Okay. And hopefully this next move that we do will put me closer to getting off of the fence. Yeah, I've got two big plans, two big paths, a fork in the road, and I don't know which way life is going to steer me. If it steers me one way, I've got plans and ideas on how to react to that situation. If it steers me down the other way, then I've got plans and ideas to react to that as well. Okay, being a minimalist for me, you know, has gotten me to a point where I'm content with a very small amount of stuff. Being a minimalist has in order to get more information about minimalism, I've kind of forced myself down the research topic of primitive man. And how primitive man survived before the internet, before electricity, before books, before farming. Minimalism made me want to get down to a base. Made me want to develop skills, the most basic primitive skills, to figure out what those basic primitive needs are. Get myself into a good base, a good foundation, and build from there. It's taken this to realize that I don't need the 100-inch screen television or the fancy car or, you know, the big fancy house. I know that if worst comes to worst, I at least have the mindset and information and whatnot to go out into the world, just me, by myself, with very little material items, and I'll survive. And as I survive, I will build up a new foundation, a new base, and develop from there. And I want to develop those skills and fine-tune them to the point that no matter where I go from this point, you know, whether I get better at what I'm doing, and, you know, or I win the lottery and I completely fall off track of being a minimalist and being a primitivist and, you know, and all that fun stuff, and I spend all that money and I can't maintain that lifestyle, and I fall from that tall pedestal, I know I'll at least land on my feet and I won't go hungry that night. Or if I do go hungry, I know I'll survive. It won't kill me to go hungry one night. I'm gonna be angry about it, but I'm not going to die from it. So, where are we at on time here, kids? 45 minutes. You know, I'm gonna... I want to say that, you know, wherever it is I go next, whatever happens next, my minimalist mind is the mind that's going to win. Okay, because if I wound up on a farm, okay, if a farm life is the life that it works out to be where I go next, then that's fine. I can deal with that, but I'm also going to take my minimalist mind with me. And, you know, I'm going to apply the minimalist philosophy to what happens next. You know, I'm not going to develop my garden to the point where I've got to have a tractor to make things go. I'm not going to develop my farm to the point where I've got to have all of this extra stuff. Unless it's food, then I'll take all the extra food. But elsewise, I'm not messing with none of that. You know, something that I talk about a lot in the previous episodes is Haven and the Nomads. Okay, and I think in the next few episodes I'm going to talk about that kind of thing, because I've given you a pretty good base of where I'm at with my prepper mind, and a pretty decent base of where I'm at now with my minimalist mind, and I want to dive a little deeper into that as part of my reintroduction series. So go down in the show notes, like, follow, subscribe, share, go to the blog, interact with me, okay? Email me, even if it's just a simple email of, hey man, I checked out your blog, or I checked out your podcast or your videos, I dig it, man, I love the brand, or I don't get it. I don't get what it is that you're trying to say. And then you and me, we have ourselves a conversation and we move on from there. Okay? It's not... It doesn't have to be as difficult of a thing as coming up with this, you know, the sharp and witty thing that you're going to say to me in our first interaction. Just, you know, say, hey, how's it going? I dig the show. And from there, you know, cool. The conversation evolves from there. Yeah, contact me, interact with me, you know. Be an online friend. You know, I've got a couple of people that I interact with on a pretty regular basis, and I wake up excited in the morning at the possibility that they've contacted me. They've interacted with me in some way on Twitter or Steemit or wherever. That that's exciting for me. Okay? So if you contact me, know that I'm going to be excited. Okay, be excited that I'm excited, and we can, you know, we can build from there. Okay. I think it's a lot of fun. And I can't wait to interact with you and do all this fun stuff together. Okay? So contact me. And until then, I'll talk to you later, man. Bye.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.